You're listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. Before we get started today, I want to let you know about a free resource we're offering. It's an e-booklet called Pipeline: Succession at Every Level. Now, you may have already downloaded Developing Your Leadership Pipeline and walked through that with your staff team. If you have, awesome. This is your next step. Most of the time, when we think about succession, we think about replacing the person at the top. We need to think about, however, reproducing leaders at every level of your ministry. If you're ready to do that, then I would say go to lifeway.com/leadership and select the free booklet tab at the top. Again, that's lifeway.com/leadership and select the free booklet tab at the top, and you can download it there. Now, let's get on with the podcast. Enjoy.
Hey, you're listening to 5 Leadership Questions. My name is Eric Geiger, and I am one of the hosts. And I'm here with two other hosts today, Todd Atkins.
What?
And Daniel M., who has a new book out.
Yes, thank you.
and did you like pin the tweet of you in the shirt that matches your book?
I didn't. It's my profile picture. But that wasn't intentional.
I gotta look at that.
You gotta see this, T. I mean, I know it's the same colors, but it might be the exact same three colors. Anyway, we're not going to be talking about...
No, Instagram has some nice filters that kind of...
Is that what you did?
Well, I just chose the Nashville filter. Not because I live in Nashville, because I like that one.
Yeah, it's
and
a good
it
filter.
just kind of brought it all together.
So congratulations to Daniel M. on the book and the matching shirt with the book cover.
You know what I'm really proud of? If you go through there, there's some killer quadrants in there.
Yeah.
He's been around.
The joy on your face in this moment, as your face lit up. You have goosebumps. He has goosebumps talking about quadrants. Okay.
Although Eric,
just because the studio is cold.
This is bad news.
I've always wanted to ask you this though.
In that thing.
Yeah, and I've always wanted to ask you this. All right, so when I was doing this thing on social media about, hey, which cover do you want?
Yeah, you went through. I gave you a suggestion. You went the opposite.
Okay, no, but the one that you voted for had your endorsement and Robert Coleman's endorsement on the back cover.
That's not what I did.
Okay. I was trying to figure out, was it the color or because your name was on the back?
come on, man. You call me out for everybody. You have to admit that voted on the cover, we didn't know what was in the back. So I wouldn't have known what was in the back when I voted on the cover.
Okay. Right? Well, both were there.
The back was there too?
What I did was I chose the color you didn't vote for.
You did.
But your name and Robert Coleman's endorsement is on the back cover of the book.
So I can take this back to
I always wanted to ask. Yeah.
So today we're going to talk about lateral leadership. The interesting thing is we have three levels of leadership represented around the table on the podcast. So this
is actually the wrong people to be doing a podcast on lateral leadership, because this is vertical leadership in this little podcast room right now.
We're talking about lateral leadership today. So the very first question I'll ask you guys, and that is, what is lateral leadership?
Okay, so if you define leadership as influence, then lateral leadership is influencing people who you don't directly oversee, and those people also don't oversee you. So when you hear the phrase lateral leadership, you have to first say, okay, what's the definition of leadership? Now, assuming the definition of leadership is something along the lines of influencing people or moving people in a direction, then lateral leadership is influencing people. You don't do their annual review on an org chart. They don't report to you. Even in a local church setting, they're not a volunteer or a ministry leader in your area. It's people outside of your immediate realm of responsibility. So another way to describe it would be horizontal leadership. So vertical leadership would be people that you are responsible. They're in your vertical. And then horizontal or lateral leadership would be people that you're not directly responsible for.
So it happens across the organization, and it's really about informal leadership. When you look at formal leadership and informal leadership, there are people in your organization that are going to have informal leadership. They have the ability to get things done across the organization, and they don't need position on the org chart to get it done. So that's up and down. But what we're talking about specifically is your peers today. When I think of lateral leadership, I'm thinking peer-to-peer.
It's what it is. Yeah. Yep.
But I think the best principles in leadership often are those lateral leadership principles as well. For example, although you may have vertical leadership for those that report to you, I mean, you never really want to go to them and be like, well, hey, go and do it. This is what you got to do. Just go and do it. Why? Because I told you so, right? I'm your boss. The best principles in lateral leadership, which we're going to get to in the upcoming questions, which is, hey, having one another's back, knowing their strengths, knowing their weaknesses, understanding their load, and the things that are going to make you successful at being a lateral leader, I believe are principles that also make you successful leading down and leading up.
Totally.
Well, lateral leadership does not afford you the privilege of just saying, hey, I made the call. Yeah. I'm in charge. Do it. Lateral leadership, you have to lead with a compelling idea. You have to lead with merit and with execution ability. And so obviously those things can, when you lead with those as well and other types of leadership, that only helps.
You know, I mentioned this book before, but Guy Kawasaki's Enchantment. If you think of what he says enchantment is, I keep going back to that as that's a great way to think about informal leadership within an organization, because
I read that book one time. I read that book one time. You mentioned that book to me one time and I read it.
You didn't like it.
And then, oh, I told, no, Guy, we like your book. After you said, oh, I should have told you, that's really kind of like a fast read. It could have been like an article.
Well, it's
like,
really,
thanks, Todd. I invested a night of my life in reading this book.
The beautiful thing is you read enough that you can read a book in a night.
Yeah. But I guess I would have been watching.
It boils down to this, guys.
Todd sent me the summary.
He treated you better than he treated me.
It boils down to two things, trust and likability.
Yep.
So if your team, you have to build trust. People have to understand that you're not out for number one or, you know, getting credit or whatever. You have to build trust, and you also have to be, you know, a likable guy. And I think you'll succeed greatly in lateral leadership.
Yeah. So when have we seen this go well and poorly in Eric, Eric,
this is question
Todd?
Two?
Yeah, it's number two. And we want gut spillage here.
Some real
stories.
Spill your guts. You've seen this go well and right. you've done it poorly. Do you see how I re-asked the question so you would have to answer it?
Yes. So both are looking at me. Answer, Savvy. Guy. You're answer it.
Okay. Savage.
I'd say, so I've been here 6 years at Lifeway. Some of the things, well, actually all of the things that have been really significant in terms of impact, in terms of the number of churches that we were able to reach, the depth that we really felt we were able to bring about transformation in the lives of people, in the lives of local congregations. Those have been initiatives that were larger than one single department. They required lots of teams weighing in. So I think of the Gospel Project, for example. It was initially a small curriculum, and now over a million people use it this week. That is not one team that pulls that off. Mm. So if there's more than one team, there's a lot of lateral leadership that goes. People have to coordinate together every single day, multiple times a day, to pull that off. And that's a great example of lateral leadership that I've seen. And I'm really grateful for our team and how they attack that. And then the gut spillage on things that haven't gone as well. We do a case study approach on the team I lead. So sometimes it will be a case study of something that went really well, and we're looking for lessons that we can apply to other things. But oftentimes it's a case study of something that hasn't gone well. It's a confidential case study. Something didn't go well. I asked someone to be a point person. They do some research and they come with, here's where things messed up. Here's what we can do better next time. And all of those have to do with lateral leadership. Hmm. Every single time we've had a case study of something that hasn't gone well, it has been coordination across multiple areas. Every single time. There was a Harvard Business Review article about why execution fails, and it doesn't say the term lateral leadership, but it says execution always fails because of a lack of coordination and communication. And that's lateral leadership. So times that we've seen things go widespread impact, it's been excellent lateral leadership. And I'm not going to give you specificity of things that we should have done better, but we're trying to learn from those. And those have been failures in lateral leadership.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for depressing me with the question, guys.
I love that approach. And when I look at my life, when instances have gone well as it relates to lateral leadership and those that haven't, I feel like the ones that have gone well are often with people that I like. You know, there are some people that you just gel with. Pardon me? Yeah. Yeah. There are some people you just gel with that you connect with. And there are other people who you don't, I mean, you love the person, but you wouldn't ever hang out with them.
I think that's why wise people say, hey, hire people on the team that you would enjoy spending time with, because execution is going to be a lot easier. Communication is going to be a lot more seamless when you have groups of people who actually enjoy being together.
And who have a good level of emotional intelligence. Like, hey, we're getting to know each other here. We're going to hang out. Mm-hmm. Right. And you can't just keep on asking me for stuff without being willing to go both ways. Right.
It's good.
Which is interesting, because the third question is, how do you lead laterally without being a jerk? And the first thing that I want to say there is, you know, we're talking about, hey, you got to be a friend. If you want to lead laterally, you need to be a friend. But we need to make sure that we're not just friendly so that we can then ask someone else for a favor, because I don't think I can articulate what it is, but there are some people who are really nice to me. And just alarm bells go off, and you're like,
intention and posture.
Yeah, you're like, so what? Why are you acting this way? Is it because you want to ask me for something later? And inevitably, they do, and you're like,
So it feels manipulative.
It does. Oh, totally.
So what's the question, Daniel? You got to ask the question.
How do you lead laterally without being a jerk,
or without even being manipulative?
Exactly.
You have to be sure that your own heart. That you have to check the motives of your own heart. That. It's not about just your area winning, but the overall success of the ministry, of the organization. When that's in play, then you can lead strongly laterally, because it's not a selfish motivation. You can push, you can prod, because there's something bigger than just your team or somebody else's team that's at play.
That's where I was going to go. It's really helpful if your organization has a strong vision and you all share the same values and you have some common goals and common ground, because it's a lot easier than to, be a little more selfless at times. And, of course, this happens over the course of time, because we've all been in a situation where it's like, hey, I've worked with this person for 2 or 3 years, and suddenly you're now wanting me to go out to lunch and do all this stuff. And that's, I mean, that's straight up manipulation. And probably if you've been on a team with somebody like that for a couple of years, you've already seen that play out.
Yeah. Yeah. You've seen them do that before. But then if that person is listening right now, the manipulative person, they're probably thinking, well, gosh,
we actually see that manipulative person.
Everybody spots it. But you have to, if you're them listening, you're thinking, okay, I know I've failed relationally with this person the previous years, but now we really do need to work together. So how do we guide that person to not be so fearful that it's going to be viewed as manipulation, but for them to actually do the right thing and build the relationship? Yeah, so
I feel like your motive plays a huge part into it. So I feel like on this topic especially, we have introverts and we have extroverts, broad generalization here. And extroverts are going to be like, oh yeah, let's get together, let's hang out, let's eat. And then eventually there's going to be a moment where lateral leadership will go well for them, because that relational capital has been built.
Time.
But for introverts or people who may be socially awkward and they're like, hey, I want to grow in my emotional intelligence.
Introverts and socially awkward are not the same thing.
I'm an introvert, right?
Yeah, I am too.
Okay, but...
Thanks for calling me socially awkward in front of everybody.
So awkward right now. So
part of it is...
The awkwardness in this room is palpable.
So part of it is you have individuals who, may not be socially awkward, but they're not strong emotionally, emotional intelligence-wise. So they're like, well, I don't really want to hang out with other people unless there's a purpose for it, right? And I know a lot of our listeners are going to be there. They want to have that intentionality. So personally for me, what I do, because I'm more on that end, I actually have to tell myself, hey, I want to connect with this person. I want to be intentional at setting up lunch meetings with all these people. But when I go there, I'm going with a posture of, hey, I just want to get to know them. Mm-hmm. I just want to learn. I just want to be a friend. Maybe one day down the road, there'll be an opportunity for us to work together or lateral leadership will be important. But when I go into that meeting, I'm actually sincerely, my motive is, I just want to get to know them.
Yeah.
I just want to see how I can serve them.
If your motive is pure, man, that's awesome. Yeah. I think if the person is listening and they feel like I've been at the ministry of the organization for a long time and I haven't built the relationships, but now I know I need to lead laterally, what do I do? I think just own it with the person and say, honestly, I end up building relationships through work and we haven't had a project together. We haven't had something that we've been assigned together. And so I want to apologize that we have been working alongside one another and have never really gotten to know one another. And I hope that we get to know one another well through this and just own it.
That's good.
Just fall on your sword and say, I haven't built the relationship that I should have built, but I know it's important and I want to build it going forward.
Good.
That is good.
Nothing additional to add. Hey, all right. I said intention and posture early on. This is just two words.
Yeah, everything that Eric and I are saying are just an elaboration of your thoughts,
Todd.
We're watching your brain.
You ran with it.
This is a major issue, lateral leadership. In a local church ministry, it is. So a couple weeks ago, I wrote a blog about the time that I struggled with leading laterally when I first moved to working at Lifeway. It was basically about Ed Stetzer and I getting in a fight.
Man, that was a good article.
Because Stetzer and I were friends before I came here. I brought him down to Miami to preach and he would train the staff and we would speak at different places together and grab a meal together. He's always been fun to hang out with. And so when I moved here to Nashville, I thought, man, this is gonna be awesome. Stetzer and I are going to be hanging more together in meetings. It's going to be hilarious. It's going to be fun. And I really wrestled because he wasn't my boss. I wasn't his boss. We both are strong personalities. We would have different ideas on things to do. And I had very little experience in lateral leadership because as an executive pastor, I led up to my boss and to the personnel committee. I led down to the team that I led, but I didn't have any experience leading laterally. So it took some time. And by God's grace, I mean, Ed and I, it was only a couple bumpy months, but then we really were able to accomplish some really exciting things by the Lord's mercy together and really enjoyed five plus years of being on the same team.
So going back to the last question then, did you have that coming to terms conversation with him then?
Yeah.
And is that what enabled you guys to get over that hump?
Yeah, I think the advantage of both Ed and I is that we don't keep, we don't let things just sit. And so we sense the tension and we address it head on. I would feel really badly for people who have the tension and don't call it out. So we called it out. We went to dinner one night, fought on the way to dinner, threw everything on the table at dinner and then pledged to love one another well on the way home. After I posted that article, I had several pastors. Actually, it was all of the ones that texted me were mega church pastors of multi-campus churches. And what they were saying, that they said, man, more needs to be written on this, on lateral leadership. It's the biggest issue we have in our multiple campuses is lateral leadership.
So going back to the first question, I felt like we spent or the second question, I felt like we spent a lot of time on it, but where I was going to say where I have seen it poorly, done poorly, is across campuses.
Yeah.
You launch a lot of campuses in short succession.
Yep.
You begin to have to go back and, you know, reread Politics, mm-hmm. Silos, and Turf Wars by Lencioni. You have to establish working groups. You have to think about how can we share leadership and how can we provide clarity? Because at the end of the day, lateral leadership is about getting things done across the organization. And so it always ends up coming back, I think.
I mean, my story earlier on was about two campus pastors and me relating to them from the central services perspective. So
there's always different opinions on where's the dotted line, where's the straight line. And then you can keep flipping that around and it won't solve the problem of a culture of poor lateral leadership, whether it's dotted or straight. You know, you have to have a culture where people coordinate well together.
So let's flip the perspective then, because we've been talking a lot about when we've led laterally. And the fourth question is, how do you allow yourself to be led laterally without being a pushover?
What I had to tell myself, I really preached the scripture to myself as I stumbled when I first came into this organization with zero lateral leadership experience. Actually, it had been a long time since I had lateral leadership experience, early 20s when I was a youth pastor. And so Todd's laughing because
I was there
and I wasn't really good at it then.
No.
So I was a bad lateral leader in my early 20s.
But we had a good time.
It was an awesome time. I mean, our silo had an amazing time.
It was a real silo too, because we weren't even at the church.
We were in a mini mall. We were in a mini mall. I did it poorly before, then had no experience in lateral leadership, and then come into the organization. So I had to preach to myself. This is a Bible verse: submit to one another.
Mm.
So the way that I overswung the pendulum in my own heart was I would tell myself when I would go into a meeting with Jerry Ryan, the CFO, he's not my boss. Ed Stetzer wasn't my boss. These are other vice presidents at Lifeway. I would act as if in my own heart, they're my boss. It was actually a way for me, because I knew how to relate to a boss. So I thought, I'm going to act as if they're my boss. I'm going to submit to one another. But I've never let my boss push me over either, you know? So it's not being a pushover. It's just in terms of their expertise, I want to let that person take the lead in terms of their expertise. But I want to lead up well and communicate priorities and communicate direction and communicate vision.
Yeah, what I love about that is, you know, the full verse is submit to one another, you know, out of reverence for Christ, or in the CSB, it's in the fear of Christ. Right. And it's like, hey, when you're allowing yourself to be led laterally, right, it's not just, hey, I scratch your back, you scratch my back, I'm going to do this so that I can then pull a favor later. But it's in the fear of Christ.
Yeah. Think about all the times lateral leadership doesn't go well. I'm just going to throw in some hoops because it's the off season. But Kyrie Irving's trying to leave the Cavaliers right now. And supposedly his problem's not with management, his problem's not with head coach, his problem's with teammates. He doesn't want to be on the same. He doesn't want to laterally lead with those same players. And it's the same.
Yeah,
it's the same in ministries and organizations too.
That's what's at stake here. I mean, mission is at stake when you don't lead well laterally.
So how did you take over the Cleveland Cavaliers and swing it to mission? Because like the mission to win.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying that.
What sport the Cleveland Cavaliers play? What sport, Todd?
Just kidding. Basketball.
Okay, good. Just being sure. So the mission of
I love the volleyball.
The volleyball on the interwebs, right?
I follow that on the Snapface all the time. He's one of my favorite people on Snapface. No, because what's at stake here is if you have a poor relationship with another leader, your teams will also suffer.
Yep.
And you have the ability, you run the risk of that toxic relationship going down into your team and your teams not being able to lead laterally with other teams as well.
Yeah, because on that note, think in a church context, right? Let's say I'm leading ushers, or I'm leading, and I'm a lay leader. I'm a leader of leaders, talking about leadership pipeline language. But I don't. Although I am the leader over this group of volunteers, I can't fire them. I can't pay them. It is lateral leadership, even though you have formal positional influence. So I don't know if you guys, this is so common on church staff, where you'll have a staff member coming and being like, "Hey, I think we need to hire a new position, or I need to hire an administrative assistant, or I need to hire this," because they don't want to do the hard work of lateral leadership to develop volunteers. They just want to hire someone that they can say, "Hey, I'll go and do this," because it's easier than investing in and becoming a good lateral leader.
That's good.
All right, so let's get to the fifth and final question. What are the practical ways you can start leading laterally right now, today, this week? What are some ways
you can? All right, you first, you really do have to check your own motivation. If you're a Christian, if you're listening, you love Jesus, and Jesus has rescued you, this is really good news. You can lead laterally because you can love people well. Mm. You can love them well without manipulating them. And so you have to choose to love the people that serve alongside you well and care for them. And so then you look for ways that you can serve them and not only them serve you. Yeah. However, to lead well laterally, It is also about inviting them into initiatives that you have, priorities that you have. So you don't make the mistake of missing out on what could be by insisting just your team executes XYZ. By bringing other people into the conversation and into the execution, you really can widen the influence and widen the impact of whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah. We've talked a lot about posture. We've talked a lot about, you know, that inner heart motivation, but I believe we also need to, in order to laterally lead well, you need to think about perspective, right? So when you're leading, don't just think about, hey, this is the team that you're leading and these are the goals that you need to achieve as a team or individually, but think how your team and what you're doing can be actually a part of the greater whole, right? And I feel like when we have a perspective of saying, hey, actually me taking time to help them, even though it's not directly in my area, that's actually going to be better for the entire church or the entire organization. And it is actually going to benefit us as a whole, to have that perspective where it's not just, hey, this is me, my world, but this is our world and we're all a part of it, our mission, our vision. I believe that's going to bring you a long way in terms of just, you know, having something to anchor yourself off of.
That's great.
Before you go, we want to remind you about the free e-booklet, Pipeline, Succession at Every Level. If you want to develop leaders at every level of your church, this booklet is for you. To download, go to lifeway.com/leadership and select the free booklet tab at the top. Again, that's lifeway.com/leadership and select the free booklet tab at the top, and you can download it there.